Hello and welcome to Growth Coaching International's Coaching in Education podcast. I'm your host, Richard Reid, and in this episode, we are continuing our series called Stories from the Field. Throughout many of our episodes, one of the most common themes where coaching has had a significant impact is change, planning for it and responding to it. For many of us, change is not something we welcome with open arms. A few episodes ago, we heard how Jo Camisato was preparing her team for change as she got ready to open a brand new school. In another recent episode, we heard how Justine Smythe brought together three separate schools into one and successfully used coaching to help manage that significant change. In this episode, we get to find out how coaching continues to impact the school team just 2.5 years into its new journey. In 2022, my guest today, Mark Natoli, opened the doors to a brand new school, Greenvale Secondary College in Melbourne, Australia. With a motto, Dream, Believe, Achieve, let's hear how coaching has impacted the early years of this brand new establishment. Mark, I'm delighted that you're joining me on the podcast today.
Yeah, hey Richard, thanks. Great, happy to be here.
I'm looking forward to it, Mark. Mark, could you start off by maybe, for a bit of context, share a little flavour of your journey through education so far and on how you arrived at Greenvale Secondary College.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose my journey as an educator hasn't really been a traditional one, so to speak, and I didn't just simply leave school, go to university and land back doing the thing. I think for me, my journey actually started about 10 years after I left school. So for the first 10 years of my life, I was in project management, construction and other things in that sort of space. And for reasons really at the time that were just quite opportunistic, I decided to apply to be a teacher in this career change program that they had in Victoria at the time. And I have to tell people that it's, you know, the second best decision I ever made, like to marry my wife. And part of that really was a changing point for me, both in career and life, around recognizing that, you know, what other space do you get the best opportunity to make an impact and change young people's lives. So, you know, my leadership journey started reasonably early in my teaching career too, and worked the way through leading teacher up to campus principal at a multi-campus school. And in that time, you know, had some really good experiences in terms of starting change programs and recognizing the impacts that we can have as leaders in schools. And then went to my first substantive principal role at a school south of where I am now. And that was an interesting opportunity in a challenging context to really have an impact around, you know, building a foundation so that things can get achieved and making sure people are passionate about the work that they're doing and feel supported in that. And so obviously now here, I had the awesome opportunity really at opening a new school, which is very, very different to any experience I've had before in schools. And as part of that, you know, obviously we'll talk a bit about later on around how coaching has impacted that journey. But for me, having that different life experience and a different view has sort of made me approach leadership in schools a little bit differently. I think, you know, I'm still really energized around the potential that we have as a school to develop, you know, not only academic results, but all things that we want to do with our staff and community. So yeah, that's kind of me to the date.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. I mean, it's a lovely place to come from, completely outside of the education world. And it's interesting picking up on a couple of things you're saying there, Mark. You know, that the project management at the start, obviously, you know, working around construction. But then when you talk about your current role, you actually use the phrase about building foundations. It's interesting the link between those two. You know, you can see a very, very, very strong link between the two. And in between those two comments, I mean, two words that I highlighted, you've actually used a number of times each, is that word impact. So having impact And you talk about having impact and changing lives, which is, as you say, is a tremendous opportunity in the role of leadership within education. And closely followed was the word potential. So seeing the potential of, well, I suppose, not only the young people that you're, that you have in your care, but also, you know, members of your team. So that's a lovely direction of travel. And even you talked about the idea of, you know, having a different perspective.
Yeah.
And you're still energized, which is terrific, because there's not many of us out there left, but no, you're still energized, which is so important at the top level when it comes to education. Mark, as you know, our listeners are very curious about coaching and education. That's what they're all about. Could you give us some insight into how you became curious about coaching? Who or maybe what inspired you to give it a go?
Yeah, so I think this was probably around about 10, 12 years ago now, that I first, you know, I'd always heard of coaching but never really knew anything about it or what it was about. But at the time I was going through a pilot program with the Department of Education here around principal preparation. And as part of that, they paired you up with a coach, which was through Growth Coaching International. And so it was my first real experience with Di, who is still my coach to this date. And that was my first opportunity in terms of being coached, but I'd never really considered it even at that point around, you know, how you'd use it in a school yourself as a leader. And I think, you know, sort of not too far after I first met Di, I found myself in this space having conversations with the leadership team around trying to understand, you know, the school was spending a lot of money, sending a lot of staff out to do professional learning. And then they'd come back and then everyone would say, you know, they went and did the professional learning and they come back and nothing's changed. And and then the business manager would say, well, we're spending all this money. We can't keep spending this money because the impact's not there, that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, we knew at the time something had to change in how people were supported when they returned back to the school with the new knowledge or the new learning. And the other one, things at the time, it was I found myself dealing with lots of people's problems. So, you know, I kind of likened it to when you go to the shopping center and you go to the deli and you got to take a ticket and it's like, who's next? So they just kept rolling through about, I've got this problem, and it's like, you're the fix-it person. And of course, I'd come from an environment industry where that's not the way we operated. It was very much, you know, if you've got a problem, you need to come to me with a potential solution, and then let's talk that through. Not, you know, I'm the one who has all the knowledge. So,
yes.
The other one really was the third part of it was I was able to see pretty clearly that people were able to articulate where they wanted to get. So, you know, if we said, okay, what do you want to be different moving forward, or where do you see us in 10 years time, or people are able to name that and talk about it with some excitement and energy. But when we said, okay, so how might we get there, it all sort of went a bit wobbly. So those sorts of things really brought it together for me around, you know, asking what leadership skill do I need to amplify, I suppose, to bring that out and change that aspect and turn people, you know, into learning from each other as well, because we often recognise in schools, I think, that the expertise exists within the environment we're working, but we don't spend as much time sort of, you know, looking into that. And, you know, so for me, that's sort of how I really kind of started to pay attention to coaching. And then I went, at that time, I think, and did the introduction to leadership coaching, which was what it was called back then, and you know, sort of was committed then. I recognised around seeing that the impact that it can have in speaking to others who kind of have the same experience, that would be really important as the school. And you know, I think from then, you know, I went and did the coaching accreditation program and have extended into the solution-focused masterclasses, those kind of things. And we do that, you know, which we'll talk about maybe a bit later in terms of as a school too, and how we, you know, it's not just me being the one who's going and doing the learning in this space, but I actually have a genuine interest in it as well, which probably helps.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's interesting when you're mentioning those things, Mark. I just have this picture of you with the ticket machine and members of staff coming into that. It's maybe a position just inside the door, take a ticket and, you know, form an orderly queue, because obviously I'm the font of all knowledge and I'm here to answer your questions. But isn't it also interesting when you talk, you move right back to your career within construction, and you said that there was very much, you know, a culture of, you know, we're problem solvers. So come to us with a problem by all means, but come with one or two potential solutions. And you said, and we'll start the conversation there. Hmm. And yet whenever you arrived into the school system and moved up the leadership ladder, you know, you had an idea that you hadn't come across coaching in its entirety. But actually, back in the day, there was a strong element of coaching to your approach to problem solving in many ways, which is lovely. And you had the privilege of working, obviously, with Di Henning, as you say, on the receiving end of coaching. So that was a lovely introduction to the potential for what coaching can do for you. And then obviously, you took the bull by the horns and you jumped right in there and you decided this is something that's really worth pursuing in school. Not just for you, but obviously for the rest of your team. Interesting thing I noted down here, Mark, and yes, lots of people listening will resonate with this when you say either you or other folks go off on training, come back full of fabulous ideas and, you know, enthusiasm, and within 2 or 3 days, just the busyness of school takes over and nothing really happens, or your phrase was nothing changes. Now, a lot of people can relate to that, but interesting phrase you used was the idea of, are we supporting these people enough when they return? Which is an interesting perspective on it, and maybe not one that a lot of heads would think about. You know, how much as a school are we doing for these people on their return from professional development? Which is just a nice angle on it. So something that'll get people thinking a little bit, which I think is really, really super useful. Mark, as the principal of a school that is literally only 2.5 years old, I'm sure around you, everything around you looks fresh and new. Now, you and I both know, as do many of our listeners, that people are usually very keen on new buildings. It's always a big sale, new equipment, new technology, but sometimes less keen on new initiatives. Now, I'd imagine a new classroom is an easy sell to a teacher, but a new initiative like coaching can be, for some, a little bit trickier. How have you approached the inevitable question from some staff? Why do we do coaching at Greenville Secondary?
Excellent question. 2.5 years doesn't make it sound like long. It kind of feels a lot more than that at the moment anyway. But I think the first point is, so in terms of why we do coaching, you know, at Greenville, we as a leadership team in a school, we say that the college, you know, has a system of coaching that's designed to support staff with both their regular work as well as implementing those college-wide initiatives, whatever, you know, they are. So it's kind of just a simple umbrella statement that we have that sits in all our handbooks and things that we do as part of this piece of work. But, you know, I would agree that to some point that new buildings and flashy things are helpful. And a while, like probably 10 years ago, I didn't think that. Like, and so this experience has certainly helped that. But the thing that coming to here and with coaching that it's made me really solidify in my own space is the theory of, you know, culture trumps strategy. So recognizing that I knew in a new school, culture and getting that right was going to be the most important thing at the start. And that it was interesting, you know, we spent a lot of time early on producing handbooks and resources and guides and all those sorts of things. But then after about 3 weeks on the ground, all these questions were coming out from people saying, you know, what's the process for X? What's the thing for Y? And we said, well, it's in the handbook, like, you know, haven't you read it? And we sort of then, you know, to me, it changed pretty quickly, the fact that we had to get better at having coaching style conversations along the way, not just those formal one-to-one sessions. So as a school, we talk about, like, there's a bit of a mantra around being overwhelmingly supportive and unrelentlessly positive with our students. And anything we usually apply to students, like, for example, that statement is that we say we do the same with staff. So the expectation around that as leaders in the school is that we model that approach. So, you know, having those conversations where we can talk openly about school culture and celebrate the things that are working well, or, you know, shine light or the magnifying glass over the things that aren't, is important. But as part of being a principal in a new school, you know, you recognize really that context matters. So even though we're part of the same system, every school is very different. And in a new school, for me, one of those unique challenges, like I mentioned before, was that every single thing we do is new, whether it's new to each other, whether it's new to the individual, or it's new to the school, there's always a strong element of it's something else, it's something new. And so we know from the research of Joyce and Showers that coaching is that way of helping people learn and implement those new skills or knowledge that they've picked up through coaching. And that is the bit that we've amplified, is to say, you know, how do we do the formal coaching element in a way that is coherent in terms of the direction the school's trying to go? But the other one is, how do we weave a coaching approach or a coaching way of being into the conversations we have, you know, in the corridors, in the yards, at the end of the day, whatever it might be. So that's kind of the thing, you know, really around the why, I suppose, we do it. And, you know, maybe in a second we talk, because it's changed a bit as we've progressed as a school. Like, we came in, or I came in with a view about how it's going to look and how it'll work, but learning from people and reflecting with staff around the impact it was having and those things, we certainly made changes along the way too.
I'm sure if Di Hanning's listening to here and they're using the word reflection, she'll be very, very pleased. But you're right, you know, as you move forward, I mean, everything's new. There's no two ways around it. Every single thing is new, whether it's a thing, an object, or initiative, or, you know, a policy, whatever it might be, it's all new. But you use the phrase there, you realize that it was a coaching conversations you were having along the way that were almost the most important ones. And being able to, it's almost like that Apple advert back in the 90s, you know, when they talked about building the plane as you fly. You know, essentially that's what you're doing, even though the new building's there and everything's spick and span, you know, the snagging's been done, but you're still building a culture as you go along, which is no easy task. So that's very helpful for our listeners. Mark, when you think about, you know, coaching in your school, and if we use the phrase, if I were to walk in, what would it look like or feel like or sound like at Greenvale Secondary? If I was a member of staff, what would I be noticing that conveys to me that coaching is very much part of what you do or what you're trying to do?
Yeah, look, so I suppose I'd say it's multi-layered. Like, there's no just one way that we do it. And I've tried for a while to come up with diagrams and things that explain how we do this. So we use it at staff induction and stuff, but it hasn't been quite successful yet. But I think, you know, from a leadership level, one of the most important things, I think, is it includes me as the principal. So, you know, anything we do in schools, if the principal's not doing it, people think, you know, is this really valued and important? So for me, modelling and being part of that experience has been important. And so all the leaders in the school complete at least the minimum is the 2-day training into growth coaching when they start and are onboarded as part of the school. And so that just gives us a consistent baseline for their understanding of coaching. All the leaders too, they have a coach through GCI. So they, in the first year of operation, we didn't do it that way. I was actually their coach, and they gave me the feedback that perhaps it'd be useful for them to have someone external that they could reflect on, even things about working with me and understanding that more. And so we made that change along the way. So that investment piece around the training and the external coaching is probably, you know, if you thought about it as a school perspective, the most costly piece. But has been really important. We also, as a group of coaches, we do engage in reflective practice and targeted PL around coaching, and that's normally, you know, quarterly or roughly four times a year, and that's been super useful around trying to share problems of practice with each other and recognizing that there are some people who are new to coaching, some are experienced, and we can still actually learn how to evolve that practice. And the other part's really around, from a leadership perspective, as coaching in the school, is that we adopted and designed our own leadership framework, I suppose you call it. And part of that for me as a leader was being able to give people a clear articulation on how we expect people to lead in the school, and to be able to provide reflection and feedback with them on where they're at the moment and what they could do next to be even better. And the other one, though, is that we weaved coaching as a leadership skill through that continuum. So it meant that for them to be leaders and seen as leaders in our school, they have to implement coaching and be skilled into that space. So it places that emphasis on coaching, not just in their formal sessions, but in how they lead and how they do things in the school. At a staff level, and we say this because it's not just about teaching staff, so it's also about the, you know, admin person at the front desk who answers the phone every day and those types of things, that everyone in the school was paired up with a coach. So, and they'll get roughly two sessions a school term, or and it can be more if that's what we want to do, but we just sort of set a minimum in that space. And the coaching that they receive is based on stuff that's either individual to them or is about the school direction, the things that are in our improvement plans and that kind of stuff. And we also do a once a year kind of professional learning event with all staff, just in terms of what coaching is and what it's not, and how it's tracking that. And we normally bring, like, Di was the last person to come in and run that one. And that's sort of always been helpful, just around having another voice that's not just someone here at school talking about it. So, you know, that's kind of the levels of it, I suppose. And, you know, later on, I think, you know, there's the thing around what people in terms of have noticed around what the impact, you know, has been. And there's certainly been some useful feedback that we've received out of it along the way, but that's kind of what it looks like at our school.
Yeah, that's helpful. That's interesting, Mark. You know, as you talk there, this I'm picturing you again trying to put great effort into constructing a diagram or a model, you know, to sort of convey what the coaching culture looks like. And, you know, you're absolutely right. It can't be squeezed into a shape or a diagram or a form. And you know, in a brand new school, new people, and in the early days of developing a leadership team, it's a messy activity, you know, and there's no perfect way of doing it. But that's a lovely approach to it. And again, you know, it's about this idea of being open to being flexible to change and reflecting again as you go on a regular basis. You have a number of really good structures in there, which people can hear very clearly, which is really very, very helpful. I mean, schools work and operate well in structures, but that culture just can't be put into a model. And I think that's actually really helpful for people when they're listening, because sometimes I think we feel we need to squeeze things into a certain shape and then say, well, we can tick that box. We've now got a culture of coaching, you know, up and running in our school. Mark, with any new build, as you know, with your history from the construction world, any new build comes a regular list of snags and complications that require patience and also a bit of expertise to address. What would you say have been the biggest snags developing coaching at Greenvale, and how have you tried to address them?
So it's certainly not always been, you know, straightforward and smiling and roses and all that kind of stuff. I think the thing in terms of for coaching, we you know, I've always been really, really open to feedback. I kind of think, as a school, how can you actually continuously improve if you don't listen to the people that you're working with and take that viewpoint on board? Part of it was for us, probably early on, we weren't clear, or I wasn't clear enough, that this is actually not a negotiable piece about working at our school. And, you know, we had it out there, said, yeah, we do coaching, all these kind of things. But early on, it was sort of seen as an opt-in program. And so the traction just wasn't quite there. And so sort of probably halfway, three quarters through the first year, I found myself saying to, you know, just being pretty blunt about, this is what you signed up for as part of being at this school, and that part of that, us being supportive and working together and continuing to improve our practice, is through coaching. And so that means everyone at the school will receive two coaching sessions, and, you know, all those kind of statements. And just sort of had a bit of a reset, and that has certainly helped in terms of gaining some consistency, you know, across that space. But the other pitfall was sort of was more from the coach's perspective, less from a coachee, around recognizing that not all leaders in the school saw it as the most useful element of time in their practice. And so we had a conversation then again around saying, well, let's talk about how we view leadership in the school. So I think we, you know, people said, I need more time to do this coaching thing as well as my leadership role. And what we really worked on quite hard was to open the door to those sort of theories around understanding that coaching is a style of leadership. It's not an add-on. And it's how we want to be in the school, not how you just need to be sometimes. And so those sorts of things, it's probably, if I had my time again, I'd, you know, plan for that rather than just let it happen. And I think the other is the pitfall probably we've had is trying to find time for professional learning for our coaches, to be honest. Like it's something that we know is really important. And if we want to, you know, make it stick in the school for a long time. But the time thing has been a crunch for us, particularly as a new school. But, you know, if we think about coming out of COVID and lockdown and all those sorts of things, they're sort of always seen as other priorities, and people would be sick, they'd be away, they, you know, so it was a bit disconnected in that way. So I think it's something we're conscious of moving forward, is to say, how do we create a stronger professional learning plan for coaching that, you know, will satisfy that issue.
But one thing you mentioned there, which, well, many things, but one that really stood out to me, Mark, which will be really helpful for our listeners, is that at one point a snag was, you had people saying, you know, I'm supposed to do all this leading and then I'm supposed to do all this coaching. You know, and the penny hadn't dropped that, as you say, in your words, what we want is, we want a coaching style of leading. You know, we want leaders who lead in that particular way, with a coaching approach to leading. And only once you get people starting to realize that, you know, the penny drops, to start to realize this isn't in addition. This is just a better way of leading, which I think will encourage a lot of people who are listening. Mark, we've used the word impact a number of times now, right from the very outset of our conversation today. In these most formative years at Greenvale, what would you say then has been the most positive impact of coaching on developing a brand new school community?
I think, you know, there's always kind of the obvious stuff, or I think if you're noticing what's happening in your school, and one of those is, and you hear the stories, or I have it happen with me, where people say, hey, can we have another coaching session? I went and did, you know, whatever the thing was that we were talking about, and I want to talk about that. And I think that's usually, to me, is one good indicator of just something that's pretty rapid. But I think we also, as part of the feedback stuff that we do as a school, we, you know, for me as a leader, I've had other people who have come into the school in leadership roles. They've been working in schools for, you know, longer than I have, And they made the comments that I've never, you know, been in a school where I've received either this level of feedback or I've been this supported to actually implement new things. And in one part of my brain, I went, oh, that's disappointing. But at the same time, I went, well, that's actually good. And I'm glad that that's the experience here. But you know, there's those things. I think, you know, with our graduate staff, like we often have a number of them, and I think it's good to hear from them too, that that they say things like, you know, it helps me be in control and it helps me have that clear path around what I should do next and what I need to prioritize and all that kind of stuff. So I think they're sort of, you know, the anecdotal bits of feedback, I suppose, that I hear. The other ones really, I suppose, are around school data and those types of things. So we know that there's no kind of clear link, I suppose, you know, in terms of a research base around saying what data is the system in terms of the education department measure our school in that, you know, can say, hey, coaching did that. But we've sort of worked out our own methodology based on the questions that get asked through those surveys. And so we have quite, since we've been here, very strong in improving data in terms of school leadership and the culture in terms of amongst staff and their view, you know, even things around peer observation and classroom feedback that, you know, there's, I think last year it was close to 100% of teachers viewed that peer observation, coaching and feedback helps me in my practice. So I think right. Those are the types of questions that come out. So we use those as the thing to say, well, it's working, and it's what we want to do. And, you know, I suppose for me, the last piece is really like when I have, you know, every year we will onboard 20, 30 new people into the school. And so when you meet with them not too long after they've started and they're, it's always really nice to hear their stories about, hey, I've landed here. There's so much going on and I'm, you know, my head's a little bit spinning, but I felt really, really supported and I know exactly what I need to do and who I can go to. And, you know, they're even able to start talking about, I had one of those coaching session things for the first time, and, you know, that sort of stuff. So I think, you know, it's not, that's why I say for us, it just hasn't been about the formal coaching sessions. It's been that cultural development stuff as well.
But it's lovely to hear, whether it's through anecdotal, you know, conversations or whether it's, you know, in black and white in the data, to see that positive impact that coaching clearly is having in your school. And on that note, Mark, what are your thoughts then on sustaining and indeed developing the role of coaching at Greenvale Secondary and in the years to come?
So I don't know if I mentioned this, but a few times along the way, we've changed track, changed path. And, you know, the view that I had around how we would do coaching as a school on day one is different to now. And I think that's okay and that's important. Like we've stayed true to the intent and the direction we want to go, but how we get there has evolved along the way. And it's the same at the moment for moving forward. So for us, one of the things we do each year is do a survey with our staff just on coaching to sort of identify areas of strength and areas for future improvement. And with that, we know that the reflective practice elements and the professional learning and expanding the coaching team will be something important that we have to think about. But also, you know, as we get older and more mature as a school, people will leave and get a promotion elsewhere, or they'll, you know, we have new people come in. So how you maintain the integrity of your model in that space is something we know we're going to work out to have to work out to sustain. We know too that in 2025, 2026, we want to start to introduce coaching for our students. So part of that is obviously this year sending off people to do some training in terms of student coaching students with growth coaching. But to sort of complete the model, so to speak, in terms of the school. We've just been waiting for our senior school to come on, and we're going to start with them in that way. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see sort of where that ends up. I think the other is for sustaining it is I've sort of been identifying who the right coaches in the school might be, or those that might be interested to go to the next step in terms of their knowledge and expertise in that space. So like I mentioned earlier, like I've done the coaching accreditation program and those types of things, but no one else here has. So I think to make it that genuinely sustainable kind of approach, that we need more people with that level of buy-in and knowledge at that level, which will certainly help.
As I say, exciting times are ahead in many ways, certainly within the coaching realms of what you're doing at Greenville. Mark, this has been genuinely an insightful conversation, and I want to thank you for your time, particularly given the fact that you're in school to record this at 7 a.m. in the morning before the school day has even started. So well done to you for that one. With a number of school new builds across Australia and even further afield, today's conversation will have encouraged others to see the genuine impact that a coaching approach to leadership can have on the school community going through significant change. For our listeners, if this is a similar context to yours, please make sure and visit the resources section of our website, where you can access those other podcast episodes around the theme of new builds and the challenge that comes with that. You will also find many other free resources on the GCI website, including our monthly Coach Ed update and our twice yearly Insights digital magazine. For now, I trust you will all join me again on the next episode of Coaching and Education, where theory and good intentions meet reality.